If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the book of Lamentations, please. The book of Lamentations, chapter number 3. Lamentations, chapter number 3. And I want to try to share what's on my heart tonight. I try not to be too long. We've got to do a little business meeting here after a while. I tell you, the Lord's been good in these days. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. Let's start reading tonight in verse 18. Verse 18, Jeremiah is writing this and, of course, lamenting. He's brokenhearted. He's the weeping prophet. He's the one that said, "Oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears." Boy, there's a lot in this old world to cause you to weep, ain't they? And even our Lord and our Savior, when he stood and looked down on Jerusalem, he wept. "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together?" I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. My Lord's in the gathering together business. He don't want people to die and go to hell. Amen. He don't want God's people to be at each other's throat. He wants to gather us together. Amen. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That scripture is often misquoted. They'll say, "Where two or three are gathered in my name." But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's one thing to gather, and it's another thing to gather together. Amen. In the name of the Lord. And so tonight, what I'd like to do is start reading at verse 18. The Bible said, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." And how many's done figured out when the believer's strength is perished and his hope is perished, he's in a good place for God to help him. You see, God's strength is not made perfect in our strength. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. The Bible said, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, my wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." Verse 21 said, "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope." He had just said that his hope is perished from the Lord, his strength. And now he said, "I recall, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies." That's plural. Amen. God has plenty of mercy, and he has mercies for his children, that we're not consumed, because his compassions, that's plural as well, fail not. They are new every morning. I love this. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Here's our text tonight. Another message entitled, "It is good." It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be here at Bible Way with your people. Thank you, Lord, tonight for your presence. We pray, Lord, the power of God would fall in this place tonight. God, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us. And God, I know that we're living in some discouraging days as far as, Lord, what we see on the horizontal note. But, Lord, it's good to be able to look up and see our Father, that you're still on the throne. And know, our Lord, that you still are in control and you still have mercy and you still have compassions that fail not. Now, Father, tonight I pray you'd clothe us in our calling. Make us a blessing to your people. And God, I pray that we'd have ears to hear tonight what the Spirit of God would say to the church. In Jesus' name. And all God's young and said, amen. Amen. I want to look tonight at this hope. The Word of God said it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The first thing I want to bring to your attention tonight, in the text, there's a hope that's needed. The Bible talks about over there when it's talking about the coming of the Lord, talking about the death of the saints of God. It said, for us not to sorrow as others which have no hope. I believe there's a hope tonight that's needed. God has given His children hope. Jeremiah, there was a hope in this text that was needed. If you look at verse number 1 through 6, what you see is darkness. The Bible said, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned, and hath turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. We see in those verses the darkness that was engulfing Jeremiah. No wonder Jeremiah was weeping. No wonder he was broken. He looked at Jerusalem and its lying in waste, the city that he loved, the city of David, the city of God. And beloved, listen to me tonight. If you don't understand that when we look around us tonight, everywhere we look, there's darkness, then, beloved, you're not looking on a spiritual level. Amen. I believe tonight, beloved, listen, there's darkness everywhere that we turn. Not only the hope is needed because of the darkness, but the hope is needed because of the derision. Look in verse number 14. He said, I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. I had to look that word up to find out exactly what it means, and it means laughter. It means to mock. It means to scorn. I'll tell you something tonight. If you live for God in this generation, everybody ain't going to like it. There's some be laughing at you. There's some that'll be mocking you. There's some that'll be scorning you. And Jeremiah, in the midst of it all, his tears was laughed at. His tears was mocked. That broken heart, beloved, they had him in derision. And what looks like even made up songs, amen, about the man of God, the prophet of God. So there was a hope that was needed. The darkness points out that it's needed. The derision points out that it's needed. If you go over to verse number 45, the Bible said, thou hast made us an offscouring and a refuse in the midst of the people. All of our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us. Desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission till the Lord looked down and behold from heaven. And then Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth my heart. What I'm seeing is dealing with my heart. I can't just go on like nothing's happening. Amen. I thought about today as I read this text and prepared to preach tonight. In verse number 5, thou hast made us an offscouring and a refuge in the midst of the people. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, you don't have to believe me tonight. But there's a whole lot of this ungodly world that we live in laughing at America. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. If we don't get back to the place where we understand, beloved, we need God and we need God's help. I believe it, beloved. I was reading about Hezekiah or Uzziah the other day. He was marvelously helped until he was made strong. Listen, I'm thankful to be an American, and I'm proud in that sense to be an American, But I tell you, I don't have that kind of pride that says, beloved, listen, we've got an army, we've got a military, and we don't need God. I'm going to tell you something, beloved, those that went against Israel years ago, amen, in that Six-Day War, they found out something, didn't they? Amen. If God's on your side, beloved, you're about to win. And if he ain't on your side, you're about to lose. Amen. I don't care how many horses, how many tanks, how many planes you got. We need to look again to the Lord of heaven. Amen. There was desolation. There was destruction all around Jeremiah. So there was a hope that is needed. And then secondly tonight in the message, there's a hope that is neglected. Thank God, listen to me tonight. Listen to me. There's a hope that's available to whosoever will. But you know tonight, many are neglecting that hope tonight. And I believe, listen, even in the pulpits of America, it's a challenge, beloved, to stay balanced. If we're not careful, beloved, we get so burdened down with the bad news, amen, that we neglect the hope. The Bible said, Christ, who is our life. The Bible talks about, beloved, listen, our hope is a lively hope. Amen. It's a hope that's not in the things of this world and not in the God of this world, but it's a hope that's in the God of heaven. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 40, a hope that's neglected. You say, Pastor, why would people neglect? The Bible said here, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. I'll tell you why this hope is neglected. People don't want to look in the mirror. Amen. They don't want the Word of God to try their heart and to try their reins. Amen. They're not interested in repentance. They're not interested in the old path. Amen. The Bible said that we'll seek out the old path, and when you find it, walk therein. And I believe America's just about like the Jew was in that day. They said, we will not walk therein. I'm going to tell you something, beloved, tonight. The hope was neglected. He said here, let us search and try our ways. Turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto the God in the heavens. You do that tonight, beloved. Listen, in the average church, somebody raised their hands and somebody says, what's wrong with them? I'm going to tell you something, beloved, tonight. Read the book of Psalms. Amen. They believed in singing. They believed in worshiping. And they weren't ashamed, amen, to raise up holy hands. Amen. And praise the Lord God of heaven. The Word of God said here, we have transgressed and we have rebelled, and thou hast not pardoned. There's a hope that's neglected. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us and hast slain, and thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. I watched so many people in Washington, D.C. I'm telling you, it makes me sick at my stomach. Amen. That when they have a blowout, or one of them so-called important people dies, they'll get out a Bible and read a verse of Scripture. Amen. Well, I tell you what I wish they'd do. I wish they'd read Psalm 139. They'd find out that's a baby. That's not a blob. Say amen. I believe they ought to read over there, beloved, where it says, beloved, a man to lie with a man or a woman to lie with a woman is an abomination in the sight of God. I believe they ought to read over there, beloved, where old John the Baptist took that bony finger up under Herod's nose and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, there's a hope. It's right there in front of us, but it's neglected tonight. There's a hope that's needed. There's a hope that's neglected. I'll not say any more about that tonight. I tell you what saddens my heart. Beloved, right here, when the Word of God's being preached and the songs of Zion are being sung, I'm telling you, beloved, right here in Kingsport, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, there's people that'll turn away from the hope of heaven and go right back out there in a land where there's no hope. Amen. They neglect the hope that's right in front of them. Now, here's the thrust of the message tonight. I didn't want to get overbalanced one way or the other. So that's two-thirds of the message, but I hope it's not nearly two-thirds of the time. Watch this tonight. There's a hope not only that's needed, there's a hope not only that is neglected, But I want you to see tonight a hope that is nourished. You know, tonight, beloved, listen, that's what's going on here in Jeremiah's life. There was a hope that was real, and God had to bring him to a place where he could nourish that hope in his life. You say, Pastor, how is that hope nourished? Let me show you tonight. Verse number 21, he said, "This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope." Beloved, I believe, number one, tonight that hope is nourished when we begin to recall and understand that there's some things that we can pull back up, amen, in our life. Brother Gary, I know you've been through some dark, lonely days, but I tell you, thank God there's a pool back yonder, brother, that you can draw from. You can look back at your life and you can begin to recall the blessings of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I'm speaking for myself. I can't speak for anybody else. But the burdens get heavy along the way. But I tell you what, when I start counting the blessings, they always far outweigh the burdens. Amen. I believe you can find that hope when you begin to recall, when you begin to think. I thought about that song Brother Craig and his wife, Sister Donna, sang, "God is good in my life." Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen tonight, if we're not careful, we'll get buried under the darkness, and we'll get buried under the distress, and under the work. The brokenness. I started to say wokeness. That's broken too. Somebody say amen. But anyway, you'll get buried under that mess and forget about the goodness of God when God said, if there's anything pure, anything lovely, anything honest, think on those things. Amen. I believe we'll get like your worship machine, get out of balance. Amen. And we don't, beloved, recall. And then there's some things not only to recall. Can anybody say God's been good? Oh my goodness, tonight. I think about, I don't know why I'm going to tell this, but I'm going to tell it. You know where Glade Spring is, Brother Eddie. Amen. You know where Price's Bridge Road is. You know when you're above the bridge there, there's a steep curve. Brother Johnny used to live across the road from me in that curve. You remember him probably and his wife. I can't remember her name. But my wife and I, the first winter that we lived there, the very first winter, I went up on the mountain there behind Saltville, place called Clinch Mountain Wildlife Area, and they would put ribbons around the trees, and you could buy a boundary of timber, and what they was wanting it clear cut, they was wanting all that cut, and you could buy it dirt cheap, but little did I know how much work it was going to be getting it to the house. But you know what I did? I cut 12 cord of wood and burned 12 cord of wood in one winter. Now, I don't know if you understand how much wood that is. You could get warm at the stove, but you could only get warm one side at a time. Whichever side was facing the stove, amen. My wife and I was sitting on the couch one evening watching television. We had the plastic taped over the windows. We had the quilt pulled up around our neck. We're sitting in the room with the stove and the side of it cherry red. And a mouse run out underneath the baseboard and stood like that right there under that stove. I looked at Miss Eve. I said, "You going to get it?" She said, "No, are you?" I said, "No, I feel sorry for it." Amen. That's how cold it was. Amen. You could walk through the kitchen. Amen. Where the floors were so cold that, beloved, it would sweat underneath the linoleum and it would crack underneath your feet. The ice would crack. You say, "Pastor, why are you mentioning that?" I'm telling you, this old boy's got some things to recall. I can tell you that God's been good. Amen. In my life. Amen. Thank God I didn't have to cut 12 cord of wood last year. My dad's had an old one-ton Ford truck, and that fellow that was helping me, he kept saying, "Cut one more. I believe I can get it on there. Cut one more. I believe I can get it on there." I got back to Saltville and broke an axle out of daddy's truck. He said, "Son, you need to learn how to make two trips." Amen. I'm telling you, we had that thing loaded with wood, broke the axle in a one-ton truck. He said, "Pastor, why would you mention all that?" Honey, that ain't the half of it. I'm just telling you, beloved, God's been good. Amen. 1989, where we live now. We moved in, had storm windows. Most of y'all don't even know what a storm window is. Amen. We didn't have Andersons. Amen. We had storm windows. And that glazing around the windows all cracked and a caulking crack. But I had read me one, I'd listened to one of them commercials on TV about a heat pump. Man, they said set it and forget it. And we lived in that house. It had 3.5 inches of insulation in the attic. Now that other one I told you about didn't have none in the attic or in the walls. And when the wind blowed, the curtains did too. Amen. You say, Pastor, you're exaggerating. You ask that woman over there if I'm exaggerating. Amen. I'm telling you, God's been good. Amen. That the doors on the outside of our house were hollow core doors like you would have on your bedroom door on the outside of the house. Then one of the guys in Wise, where I moved from, he gave me a heat pump. It needed a compressor. And then I had to pay to have some ductwork put in the house. It didn't have any ductwork. So, man, we're all excited about the heat pump business. Amen. We got us a heat pump. And I'm telling you, we set it. It was September. And the first bill, you understand, this was over 20 years ago. The first bill was over $275. Guess what? I said it, but I remembered it. I didn't forget it. Amen. I made a rush, beloved. I went back to church. I said, anybody got a wood stove? You on a sale? And a man gave me a wood stove. We didn't have a chimney in the basement at the time. I put that thing right square in the middle of the living room. Amen. It hadn't even got cold yet. I told my wife, I said, what in the world are we going to do when it gets cold? That's just something, beloved. Listen, my God's been good to this preacher. And I'm telling you, when I get to Mully Grubs, all I got to do is look back yonder and begin to think about how good God is. Amen. I left Wise County with $175. But my brother rented the U-Haul and rented, beloved, the storage room to put my furniture in and moved into the basement of my dad's when I was between churches for 8 months. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't tell that. Honey, it does my heart good to tell it. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm going somewhere. I've got things to recall. I mean, a bunch of them. Amen. We went over to Jonesville, Virginia. Brother Willie Cody, I never met him before. 45 of us in the service. And beloved, my wife and I and the children was 6 of those 45. And I would come out of there, and Brother Willie said, Brother Vinoy, I'd like to take y'all and feed you. He said, but I wouldn't even know how to start preparing a meal. He reached in his pocket and got $20, and he handed it to me. He said, would you buy your wife and your children a hamburger on the way home? I said, sure, Brother Willie. He handed me an envelope. I looked over at my wife. I handed it to her. We're going down the road, coming back through Norton. And I looked over and she's crying. And I thought to myself, Brother Eddie, I've seen bad offerings, but honey, don't cry over it. Amen. And it was just the opposite. I said, honey, now you understand, $175, that's everything we had in the world. I looked at her and I said, what's wrong? She said, I quit counting at 500. That little group of people. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't tell those stories. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. I got no sad stories to tell. My God's been good. He not only saved me, but he's provided everything I need along the way. I know where it come from. Jeremiah, when he begins to recall, guess what begins to boil up inside of him? Hope. You know what he's thinking? It might be dark out yonder, but boy, there's some light in here. Amen. I'm telling you, he's been to think it's all right. There's some things to recall, but there's some things to rehearse and think about what God has done in your life. Look at verse 22 through verse number 24. The Bible said it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. In other words, I don't care how bad it gets. Why don't you just try thinking something like this? Brother Rick, if we had what we deserved, we'd be in hell already, and the flames of hell would already be licking at us. Ain't one of us deserves to be saved. Ain't one of us deserves a good clean sandwich to eat, or a good clean glass of water, or a good clean cracker with peanut butter on it. But God, amen, has blessed us beyond measure. What's what the Bible said here? Not only is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, But we need to remember why we're not consumed. I'm going to tell you something right now. Old Slewfoot, he'll jump up on your shoulder. You know, we need to do like one old preacher said, we need to tell him to get him another ride and quit hauling him around. Amen. He'll tell you they don't nobody care. He'll tell you they don't nobody love you. Well, I tell you what, old Jeremiah, he got him a heart full right here where he said his compassions fail not. It's of the Lord's mercy. He begins to rehearse these things in his heart and in his mind. He said, they're new every morning. And then he said, great is thy faithfulness. I wish I could tell you that God saved me in 1987 and I've always been faithful. I wish I could tell you that, but it'd be a lie. I said it'd be a lie. I wish I could say I've always been faithful to pray. I've always been faithful to read my Bible. I've always been faithful to witness for the Lord. I've always been faithful to study like I should. But honey, it'd be a lie. It would be a lie. But you know what? I can stand here tonight, Brother Stephen, and tell you. I met him in 1987, and he's been faithful. Amen. You see, beloved, listen, sometimes, when it gets dark around you and there's that despair and that derision, that darkness, that desolation, that destruction, we don't need to neglect the hope that's in us. We need to nourish that hope. Amen. I'll tell you, beloved, listen, one of the great things about soul winning or witnessing, whatever you want to call it, beloved, when you begin to tell somebody else what Jesus has done for you, it'll help you. It won't just help them. It'll help you. You're rehearsing the good things of God. He said here in verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Now, he's not saying it, but I believe he's kindly agreeing with David. I once was young, now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed a-begging bread. Honey, I don't know. Listen to me carefully. If you're watching any news at all, you know the stupidness that's went on at that bank in California. And you know, the stupidness of getting up and telling the country that we ain't going to have nothing to do with paying it back. If you're talking to people that believe that, you're talking to some dumb people. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, they'll just increase the fees. Who pays the fees? Amen. Oh, Pastor, oh, man, I tell you what, I know somebody, they got a 4% raise or a 5% raise when you jack everything else, 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. Amen. And they want to get up and brag. Amen. While they're trying to tear our country down to the ground. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we need to have this hope and rehearse it in us. Watch this, verse 25. I'm trying to get done. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Not only are there some things to recall and some things to rehearse, but there's some things to request. The Bible said, beloved, listen, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Beloved, listen, a lot of this, beloved, lays at the door of the church house. The church has been silent. Pulpits have been silent. Amen. About the sin that's going on in the nation. But I'm telling you, beloved, the Word of God said judgment must first begin at the house of God. Amen. I believe, beloved, there's some things that you and I ought to request. Jeremiah said, call unto me. That's what God said in the book of Jeremiah. I will answer thee. I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I've talked to several people around their church in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and it's a common thing where some of us believe that God's just wanting to do something. Amen. I want to be in the way, but I don't want to get in his way. Say amen. I want God to do something. And Brother Jason's announcing these revivals. I'll be honest with you. If it breaks out over yonder, that's all right with me, because there ain't no church can contain it. Say amen. If God will just let that revival break out somewhere, it'll spread through God's people. It'll spread through the land. Now watch this. A hope that's nourished. There's some things to recall. There's some things to rehearse. There's some things to request. and we talk about it as good, but it's fixing to get gooder. Listen to this. This last thing right here. Don't get all excited. There's still a few more minutes left in me. Amen. Look at verse number 26. Not only, beloved, is it good that a man should both hope, but the Bible said, and. Hope and. Not hope or, but hope and. Quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You say, Pastor, there's some things to recall, some things to rehearse, some things to request. But yes, that hope is nourished when we realize there's someone to return. He is coming. The Word of God said there, beloved, listen, we'll quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, I've already been saved. I know, but not totally. Amen. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I mean this, beloved, listen. I've been delivered from the penalty of sin. I'm being delivered, beloved, from the power of sin. But thank God Almighty, there's a day coming soon when Jesus gets here. I'll be delivered from the very presence of sin. There'll be no sin where I'm a-going. Amen. I'll never be tempted. I'll never have a wrong thought. Amen. I'll never do anything, beloved, to break the heart of my Heavenly Father again. And I don't know about you, but that's a blessed thought to me. Amen. And old Jeremiah gets the thought on his mind. Amen. That he's coming. I wrote down several things. Number one, we're going to be leaving. How many of y'all believe that? Amen. Don't live like you're going to stay here forever. We're going to be leaving, amen. One of these days, not only that, we should be looking. The book of Titus said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have that hope in us, beloved, listen, it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and soberly in this present world. How the Word of God said in 1 John chapter number 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. I believe tonight it's important, beloved. Somebody's going to return. His name is Jesus. We're going to be leaving. We should be looking. Let me give you this. We should be longing. The Word of God, read it in Romans chapter number 8. The Bible said the whole creation groans and travails. You know what it's looking for? It's looking for that day, beloved, when the child can play on the hole of the asp. It's looking for that day when there'll be a rose without a thorn. It's looking for that day when the lion can lay down by the lamb. It's looking for that day, beloved, listen, when Jesus Christ sits on the throne of David, amen, and beloved, rules and reigns in this world that we live in, amen. There ought to be a longing in our heart. I can't quote it exactly, but if you'll read over there in Isaiah chapter 55, it's right after those verses. The Word of God will not return void. The Word of God's talking about that millennial reign. It said the trees of the field will clap their hands. Amen. I'm telling you what, they're going to celebrate. Amen. They're out from under this curse. The Word of God said, no more curse. Amen. What a blessed day that's going to be for the children of God. We're going to be leaving. We should be looking, and we should be longing. But let me tell you this. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to be living. Amen. There was a saying when I was a teenager. They said, live it up. Amen. They talked about some of them beer commercials. Living the gusto. Amen. I don't know why they didn't name that stuff right. It should have been called Bud Dumber. It never made anybody wiser. It ought to have been called Miller Lowlife. Amen. They ought to name them soap operas right. As the stomach churns, the days of our lives and the edge of knife. Amen. The old and the hopeless, not the young and the restless. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, beloved. I'm just telling you, beloved, this world's upside down, but you and I are headed out of this world. When Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, he said, Father, I will that they be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory. I believe it ain't going to be long, and that prayer's going to be answered.
Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I tell you tonight, heaven wouldn't be heaven without Jesus being there. But I'm glad I've done read the book, and he's there, amen. And that ought to be, beloved, something that you and I are living for. I'm going to live forever. One old preacher said one time, he said, I wouldn't get too excited. He said, you're just going to live as long as God does. You think about that for just a moment. If you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you're just going to live as long as God does. He said, I wouldn't get too excited about that. I'm going to tell you, I'm thrilled about that. Amen. And I'm going to get to live as long as God does without arthritis. Amen. I'm going to get to live. Listen, I missed this step the other day. I missed this step right here. And when I went down here, my knee was already bent. I caught all my weight on this knee right here. But it got me a blessing the other day. I found out what kind of knee I got. For what's wrong with my knee, they call it preacher's knee. At least I got the right one, amen. And I know it's preacher's knee when you kneel on it, because when you kneel and try to get up, it's hard to get up. I'm waiting on a tow truck, Brother Nick, amen, to get me up out of the floor, amen. You say, Pastor, I'm going to leave that preacher's knee behind, amen. I'm going to leave those problems behind. We're going to be living forever, amen. But let me give you this tonight. We're going to be loving. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said when he saved us, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. I got to thinking about this today. Let me give you this tonight. I got to thinking about my wife. I got to thinking about the Faith Baptist Church in Joppa, Maryland. And they had a set of doors similar to that back there. And I got to think about standing down there and trying to act like I was dignified, had on one of them there tuxedos. I felt like that old boy on Andy Griffith. He said he looked good. He said, tell you the truth, I feel like I'm about to be buried. Amen. I looked back there and they opened them doors and they started playing on that organ. And there come my wife down that aisle. Amen. I got a picture of her I've been carrying around on my phone. She reminds me of that Fairfax Majors girl. Amen. Amen. But I don't reckon she is ever a movie star. But anyway, I love my wife. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with anything? Honey, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're headed for a wedding. Honey, I married that woman because I loved her. And I stayed with her because I loved her. She stayed with me because I made her. Amen. Now I'm tickled. I looked over at her and I got tickled. I can't look at my wife when I'm preaching. Amen. She'll get me tickled. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You and I that are God's children, boy, the love. You think about that. The marriage of the Lamb. You think about it. That love is going to be so pure. That love, I'm telling you, beloved, I feel like, well, the night I got saved, I went home and told my wife. She was home with two sick children. We only had two at the time. And I went home and told my wife, to tell my wife that I got saved. And I'm going to tell you what that love is like. I looked at my wife and apologized. I said, honey, I'm sorry. And I'm thinking back on it. It's kind of funny. She's probably thinking, I thought you went to church. I did go to church, and Jesus saved me that night. I looked at my wife, and I said, I'm sorry. She said, for what? I said, honey, I thought I loved you. I said, but until just a little while ago, I'm afraid I didn't even know what love was all about. How many can remember when God dumped his love in your heart and in your life? You begin to love things you used to hate, hate things you used to love, because the love of God was shed abroad in your heart. We're headed to a wedding. How many believe that tonight? And what a blessed, blessed, blessed day that's going to be. Now listen to me tonight. I'm going to quit.